65. Oh, yeah, this song, I like to take off, and some church expenses, guys, you know, with some days, like to get your pictures. That's Brother Dylan and Brother Zach, they're in the office. 265.
Oh, good to be in the Lord's house once again this morning. Good to see everybody here, all the visitors that we have this morning. We're glad to have you and hope you're made to feel welcome this morning. And Lord's blessed us with a beautiful day outside. He's give us sunshine, and I know that's been a big topic of conversation around seemingly where I've been working, that everybody be glad to see all this snow gone. And I think, Brother Terry made a comment, said, well, the first one was pretty, but after that, that was enough. And that's kind of the way I feel with it, too, you know, unless you're a school teacher. But it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, and I'm glad to see each and every one that's come this way. I hope you've all been prayerful for today's service, and that the Lord would just lead us and guide us and direct us. You know, we need the Lord's help. We need His direction. We need His guidance in each and every service, each and every time that we meet here, that He would direct us according to His will, that He would get all honor and glory. And I'm just thankful to be here today. We need to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, but before we do, would there be a word or a thought on anyone's heart? Let's remember that family's loss. Someone else this morning. If not, let's remember our lost. As we go to the Lord in prayer, let's remember those that's not able to be here this morning for one reason or another. And remember me, that I'd have the words to say this morning. Nothing else to be said. Brother Jimmy, would you lead us in prayer?
Kind, gracious, most loving, and merciful Heavenly Father God, as we might come before you this morning, we just pray, Your Lord,
I forgot to mention, I was reading the Macedonian call this morning, And it said in there that Brother Bryson and Brother Skinner and Brother Kent Welch is, they've gone over to Ghana. And I think they were arriving today, and they're going to stay there for several days. And let's keep them on our heart and our minds as they're over there. There's a lot of bad things going on. They don't have it as good as we do. The radio station, you know, the people that work there, there were people that come in there and they tried to hurt them. And they tried to do a lot of bad things because the gospel message is going out to those around them. And they don't have it good as we do here. So let's keep these brethren in our thoughts and our prayers this week. And let's try to remember these people that the Lord just watch over and keep them safe. That they can deliver the gospel message that lost souls will be saved. Go ahead.
Third page, number
I was
enjoyed the singing this morning. I want to be taking my reading lesson today out of actually a couple chapters in 1 John, chapters 3 and 4. Seems like this is that time of year when everybody's thinking about love. Valentine's Day is coming up, you know, and see all these hearts and everything publishing love and happiness. And I was thinking about in this writing in the book of 1 John, a lot of things that is said about love, but there's one important thing, and I guess if I had a title for my message today, it would be Knowing God's Love is Knowing Jesus. And that is the most important love that we can have, I feel, at all. So I'm going to start my reading this morning in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not, or hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, and the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Now I'm going to skip over, if you'll bear with me, to the fourth chapter. Starting in verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children. You have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and we knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God, God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I'm going to stop my reading there. I know that was a long, lengthy reading, but my point this morning, you know, we talk about, as Missionary Baptists, we talk about knowing the Lord. There's a lot of people in this world talks about knowing the Lord. There's a lot of different ways and different understandings about how that people go about knowing the Lord. There are those that believe that they can read the Bible and know the Lord just by reading the Bible. There are those that go through different routines and different things, and they believe that has caused them to come to know the Lord. But the Lord that I know this morning, and the love that I want to talk about this morning is a love that has been imputed into those that have been saved by God's grace. And when I say imputed, it's placed in the hearts of those that have been saved by God's grace. And it's not something that man can do or that we can do. It's not something that we can accomplish within ourselves. It's something that only God can do. And it's a love that only God can put into our hearts. You know, it talks about, we hear a lot about in the world today that God is love. You know, that we live in this world and that, you know, God wouldn't ever do anything to hurt anybody, and he wouldn't far as physically. But, you know, this verse that we read over here in verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect fear casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We can fear a lot of things in this life. We can fear where we live, maybe, where we work, people that we pass up and down the street. But there's a love that is put into our hearts when the Lord saved our soul. The Bible says that it casteth out fear. I don't think anybody is looking to die. But there's going to be a time when each and every person that walks upon this earth will die. There's gonna come a time when we each and every one take our last breath, and we don't know when that's gonna be. I mean, you think about all the men and women that are fighting overseas in a war that are shooting real bullets at each other. You know, they don't know what day or what moment or what step they're gonna step on landmine. Or what day or what time that there's somebody that's going to walk out to them with a bomb strapped to their chest. They don't know when that last moment is. And there's no doubt in my mind that there is a fear that is involved with going to do their everyday job. You know, at the time this was written, if you was a Christian person and you was saved by God's grace, that you walked around also with that fear in your heart, not knowing whether you was going to be burned at the stake because you believed in Jesus. Whether your family was going to be murdered or whether something horrible was going to happen to you because you had the love in your heart. But this world that we live in says that, you know, that God is love, and that You know, they want to project, I guess, just a happy-go-lucky good feeling that that there's no fear involved in the love of God. But there is a fear that is involved in the love of God. We studied in our Sunday school lesson this morning downstairs that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. There's a fear that was involved with me when I was a young boy and I heard the gospel message. I heard the message of hell. That's what I heard. And there was a fear that was given to me in my mind that enabled me to understand something different. Now, I know the Bible says that God is love, and I believe that with all my heart. You know, in this reading this morning, tells us so plainly that He loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for the sins of this world, to die for everybody, for the sins of this whole wide world. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for us. And so, through and by that action alone, I know that God loved us. You know, the favorite verse that everybody knows in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Everybody knows that verse. But the love of God, that word "so" in there is so big. We can't comprehend in our mind the love of God. And I've often said many times, you know, I've tried to preach on the love of God, and I haven't scratched. I've never been able to scratch the surface. I've never been able to satisfy myself in my mind or in my own words of just how great the love of God is. But it is that big. It's greater than anything that I could say or I could explain. But there's an alternate side to that. See, we talk about, you know, the world said God is love and everything is good and it's great. And they just want you to go through life happy-go-lucky. Never thinking a thing about heaven or hell. You know, there's this big image that I guess everybody thinks that when they die they're just going to go to heaven. You know? That there's no repercussions to how you've lived your life or what you've done with your life. Everybody has this thing that, well, I've been a good person. I was a good boy. I was a good girl. You know, I've been a good, outstanding person. I paid my taxes. You know, I didn't break the law. I hadn't been to jail. I've just been a good person. So through and by and large of my life, I've just lived a good life and I'm a good person. I guess I'm going to heaven. Well, it doesn't work that way. It just does not work that way. There's a torment that is involved when somebody comes to the understanding that they don't have the love of God in them. And when I'm saying the love of God, I mean, they don't know Jesus. I thought about that this when I was trying to think of a title for my sermon. Knowing God's love is knowing Jesus. And I thought about that, and I thought, that's probably about the best way I can say it. Knowing God's love is knowing Jesus, because if you know Jesus in the free pardon of sin, if you've trusted in the Lord for the saving of your soul, if you've repented of your sins and believed in Him for the saving of your soul, then you know Jesus and you know love. You know Him. There's so many verses that, you know, we talk about having an experimental knowledge. Knowing and understanding, you know, there's in our reading lesson here, it over and over, it says knowing God, to know God, knoweth God. Verse 7, Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. We know Him. How do we know Him? You know, it's the world is presenting, I'm afraid, is presenting Jesus. Okay, this was a man that walked on this earth. He died for your sins. He's the man that's in this Bible. And I want you to just believe that, and I want you to confess His name. I just want you to believe that what I'm reading to you out of the Bible is true. I just want you to believe that, and if you'll do that, then you're saved. They want you to think that's all it takes. But there's so much more to it than that. There's so much more. You know, I could tell somebody, ask and you shall receive, and I'd be telling them the truth. But how do you know when you've received? That's the catch to it. How do you know when you received? It's not because you ask, is it? How do you know that you've been saved by God's grace? Is it? It's not because you asked the question, is it? Or repeated a prayer or said something along those lines. It's not because you ask. But it's what you get after you ask. It's what you feel. It's what you know in your heart. It's that love of God that's imputed into your heart at the point in time that you understand what you've asking for. You've received it. You've got it. You know it. You understand it. See, we speak about an experimental knowledge, a knowing that you know that you know, that you can understand that you've been saved by God's grace. When I was little, there was torment in knowing that Jesus died for my sins, and I didn't know Him, and that I was a sinner, and that if I died as a sinner, that hell was going to be my home. There was torment in that. There was fear involved in that. I guess there's torment, and if we think that we've done things bad or we've done things wrong, I guess it bothers us subconsciously. If we was raised right and we know better and we understand better, I guess subconsciously, if we do something wrong, then it's going to bother us. It's going to aggravate us. But see, godly sorrow is something that is above and beyond a guilty conscience of doing something wrong. Godly sorrow is something that sets up in you, just like when I was a boy, when I had that fear, there was a godly sorrow that set up in me that allowed me to know and understand that I was a sinner in God's eyes. That the love of God, that Jesus was not in me. And it caused me to fear. You know, I heard that old preacher preach about hell. I heard him say a lot of things. And, you know, and I just put some of these things down today. That hell is an awful place. God did not want anybody to go to hell. He wanted them to all come to repentance. He wanted all men to be saved. He wanted everybody. Whosoever will believeth. He left it a wide open slate for anybody that would believe. He didn't pick or choose who could be saved and who could not be saved. He gave each and every person the opportunity to believe in Him and trust in Him. We sang a lot of songs about heaven this morning and going to heaven and the beautiful city. But The alternative to that thought, hell is an awful place. It was originally created for the devil and his fallen angels. God created it as a place to put them. And all those that follow after him, all those that chose not to believe, not to trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul. That's the place that God created, that God made, that the world don't say anything about. You see the things of Satan on TV. He's a little red man with pointy horns and a pointy tail and carrying a pitchfork. He's a cartoon character. He's a fictional thing. But I'm telling you this morning, he's just as real as he can be. And he's already got his destination, and that is hell, and that he's going to try to take every single person that he can with him. He wants to take all that he can. Matthew 23:33, it says, hell, it's describing it as is damnation, a place of judgment. 2 Peter 2:4, it's described as chains of darkness. Revelations 20:14, referred to as a lake of fire. Mark 9:43 says, a place where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. It's an awful place. It's awful. And we don't want anybody to have to go there. We want everybody to be saved, that we can all go to heaven. See, there's only two places. There's a heaven and a hell. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And it's our responsibility, each and every one of us, mother and father, friends, preachers, it doesn't make any difference. Nobody has the ability to get somebody else into heaven. We got to do it all for ourselves. And it comes with coming to know Jesus. Coming to understand and know what I'm talking about. Knowing God's love is knowing Jesus. When you know that love, then you know Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man. No man can go to heaven but by him. He's the mediator between God and man. See, he died on the cross to pay a sin debt. The blood that he shed was to cover our sins, that we might believe in him and trust in him, repent of our sins, that he might save our soul. It's a very important thing. The most important thing, I've said it a million times, the most important thing that can ever happen to somebody is their soul being saved. And they know when it happens. It goes beyond something of the mind, something that they think happened. It goes beyond a baptism, a joining a church, or something that we can do within ourselves. So far beyond that, because it's the work of God. If we could do it ourselves, we'd take credit for doing it ourselves. But we can't do nothing. That's the reason we have to give him all the honor and glory. Each and everything. You know, the Bible talks a lot about love, and sometimes people think that they can, because they love someone, that it possibly, you know, they may have the love of God in them. But there was Jesus and his writings teaching some of these Pharisees and scribes. These were holy people or godly people of their day, or so they thought. But you know, they thought that they were the only people on this earth. They wouldn't have anything to do with anybody else. If you wasn't a Jew, then you was nothing. In the 6th chapter of the book of Luke, in 32nd verse, it says, for if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good unto them which do good to you, what think ye have ye? For sinners or Gentiles also do even the same. He was telling them that they're just like everybody else. You know, we all love people. We love our family. We love our friends. But it's a different kind of love. There's a love that's imputed into us when the Lord saves our soul. And it's that love that we want to share this morning, that we don't want anybody to die and go to hell. As you think about Valentine's Day coming up this week, if you don't know the Lord, if you haven't been saved by God's grace, if you don't have a time and a place where the Lord has saved your soul, I'm talking about an experimental knowledge that you can know that you know that you know. Just like when I was a young boy, I was on my knees and asking the Lord to save my soul. And the point and the time and the place where the Lord saved my soul, I knew it. Nobody didn't tell me. Nobody didn't read me no prayer. Nobody didn't do anything. My whole salvation was between me and the Lord. That's the only way it can be. That's the only way that you can get that love in your heart that I'm talking about this morning. That's the only way you can know love, true love, the love of God, Jesus Christ, is to have it imputed into you when He saves your soul. God bless you this morning. I pray that the Lord can use this message. Think about that this week. If you haven't been saved by God's grace, think about the true love. Think about Jesus. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know my Jesus? If you don't, turn to Him, seek Him, that you might be found. That's the only way. Only one way of salvation. There might be a lot of other ways that is presented, but there's only one way, and it's personal between you and God. You can go into your room and shut the door behind you, and you can seek the Lord and be saved just as good as you can come up here on this altar and be saved. Because it's personal. Hey, none of us has anything to do with it. God bless you. It's my prayer. That's my message this morning. Would there be a word or a thought on anyone's heart?
I must say I enjoyed your sermon today. And I was thinking you were talking about when the rich man died and he went to hell. He didn't want any brothers to come. I don't think any of us want brothers to come either. So I think we're going to thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Yeah, Lazarus, there in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, that rich man, the Bible says, he fared sumptuously throughout his whole life. He was a rich man. He had all the pleasures and the good things of this life while he lived here on this earth, while he lived in this world. He had it all, didn't he? But then he died. And he opened up his eyes in heaven. And he asked if he would send Lazarus down, that he would dip his finger in water just to quench his thirst. Just a drop of water on the tip of his tongue. I mean, hell is an awful place. I guarantee you that if the Lord says it's a place of torment for eternity, that's just exactly what it is. Just as I can't even come to explain what the love of God is, I couldn't even come to explain the torments
that's to be expected for those that haven't been saved by God's grace. We don't want anybody to go there. That's our purpose, to tell people about Jesus that they might be saved. Like you said, rich man wanted to send Lazarus back so he could tell his five brothers he was out there suffering. He didn't want anybody else, but it was too late. It was too late for them. He said, they got Moses and the prophets. They need to hear them. Let them hear them. Well, he's still sending out people to tell people that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. He's still calling preachers to tell people that hell is not the place that you don't want to be there. He's still doing it. And there are still people today, no doubt, just like the rich man, opening their eyes up in hell, saying, Lord, send somebody back to my family. Tell them about Jesus that they might believe and be saved, that they don't have to come to this place of endless torment. May God help them. God help us all. Word on anyone else's heart. Appreciate everybody that's come this way. All you that are visiting with us today, I thank you for coming, and I hope you come back. Bless you. Someone else. Anyone else? That'll be anything on their heart. Tonight is conference night. Yes, it is. All that can and will, please come back.
Church. The next thing, you'll be working part-time or something, you're going to school.
this morning. If not, all standing will be dismissed.
Come back tonight if you can. Remember the prayer request, those that are sick, those that are lost. Brother Shelton, did you just bless us?
You go, thank this another day, beautiful day that we have. Thank you that we had this opportunity to hear that. But I would thank you to make this brother, one brother, two. And one here to follow us today, it's not to be there before everybody has to be late. And then turn it in and be saved. You go, thank you salvation, and so the knowledge of that. Without it, ask you to do the plan of day. I ask that point, and be favored, and be praised.
Amen.